Thank God for the opportunity of being with you on the last Sunday of 2009. We said to ourselves a few days ago, so soon Christmas is over. And very soon we have to wait another year before we sing those Christmas carols. Did you say that? We all have that sense of regret and looking forward once again to another new year. Are there some concerns and heavy thoughts that burden you even as you face the new year? I was reading the papers last week, and it said that the leaders of 192 nations had met in Copenhagen. Most of you would have read that, wouldn't you? Do you know what they talked about? Climate change, concerns that the climate is overheating and people will feel uncomfortably hot. And so they tried to find a solution, but there was no solution because there were political and other practical issues that could not be agreed upon. So they went home disappointed. Dear friends, mankind today needs not a climate change of their concoction. They need to know that the Lord is returning soon as King of Kings and Judge Almighty, to look into human affairs as judge of all the earth. And the Word of God tells us, don't worry about climate change, but worry about this. I want to read to you. It says here, the heavens and the earth, which you see today, are reserved unto fire. That is the heat that we ought to think about, not the climate change which exists in people's imagination. Mr. Al Gore, former vice president, who is the champion of global warming, says, almost like a prediction, he says, you know, in 5 years' time, there will be no more ice in the North Pole. All the ice would have melted because the earth is getting too hot. Maybe so. Maybe too hot for some people because they have made wrong predictions. Dear friends, I want to say this. God's word is infallible, inerrant. And if God says, watch out, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Why don't we come to the God of creation? If we are worried about the product of creation, which is the earth, what do? You buy something, some gadget, and it doesn't work properly. What do? You take back to the shop or to the maker and say, look, your product is malfunctioning. If we are worried that the earth is not functioning too well, tell it to the maker. That is the proper way, and not to go to Copenhagen and worry each other and debate and get angry with each other because there's no solution. Where is the solution, my dear friends? The maker has told us, because the earth is so rebellious and mankind will not turn to the Creator to solve his problems, but by their own intelligence and folly try to solve global warming, fiction made political. So I read to you that you may remember. This is from 2 Peter chapter 3. For those of you who want to refer it when you go home, you do not need to refer it, but just put a mental note in your head. It is 2 Peter chapter 3. It says here, the heavens and the earth are reserved, kept in store for fire in the day when God will come and judge all creation. And on that day, it will go up in flames because it is too polluted. The only thing that can cleanse it is the fire of God. Amen. Now, what are your concerns, dear friends? As you face the new year, do you have any concerns? Of course. We all are concerned about various things. Each one has his own concerns. But I say, the new year has promise of God's blessings in every way. Only those who refuse will miss it. How about you? It's so good to have all of you come for worship, that we can worship God in peace. Even though some came late, and I have a special word of comfort for them, don't treat God as a discount department. Come late, I get 10% discount. Because I come late. Don't do that. Love the Lord and come early and see how He will bless you. My question to you this morning is, the new year brings us 1 year nearer the great event. You say, what great event is it all about? Do you know? Do you care? Are you bothered? Are you concerned? Are you preparing for that great event which must come on earth, and all the signs show the coming of our Lord is near, even at the doors? So my question to you as you face the new year, by the way, the new year is just 5 days to go. Just 5 days. Then we go round, revolving round the sun another trip. One more round. One round is 1 year. Do you know that? So that is where we are. What is your concern? My dear friends, the greatest concern today is, am I ready for the Lord's return? Not whether the economic crisis will come, will be solved. Whether it is solved or not, it is man-made. And if there are repercussions and bad happenings, it is man's desert. He deserves it because he has stolen from fellow men. That's what caused the crisis, because there are people who stole money. But our concern is not on that, whether more or less. My greatest concern, and yours ought to be, am I ready? When the Lord returns, will you be ready? How can I be ready? That is the main concern, the chief concern, the daily concern. Every morning, ask yourself, could it be today? Am I approved unto God? When He comes, will He give me a pass mark and receive me, accept me? These are the things that are so needful. I've chosen for you a Psalm 90. Please turn there. It is one of the best psalms to read at this time. In fact, I think it is the best for end of the year. Psalm 90 gives you tremendous hope and instruction and direction for the future. All your concerns can be met in this psalm of not David, but you know who? Another man. And he wrote only one psalm, only this one, Moses. So, let's think of who Moses is, who Moses was, the greatest leader of men. No one in the whole of history ever led so many people as Moses, and not only that, but successfully. Moses did when he was 80 years old. God called him, "My people Israel, need to get out of Egypt, and you are the man who will lead them. And Moses says, not me, Lord, not me. But after the Spirit of God convinced him, he became the greatest leader of mankind ever known. For he led 2 million people for 40 years from Egypt to the Holy Land of Israel through wilderness conditions. No mass rapid transit, no buses of any kind on your bus 11, 2 feet only. Amazing. How did he do it? That kind of man must be very special. And he wrote one psalm. Are you interested to know that psalm? Verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. This is an address to the Lord who called him. And the same Lord called you and me. The same God we worship. And Moses says, Lord, you are our dwelling place. Read it again in your own language. Lord, you are my home. When I finish this service, I'm going home. Do you have Christ in your home? Is it evident when people walk into your house and hear you speak and listen to your kind of music and the kind of decorations you have on the walls, and the kind of reading material you have in your house, and say, praise the Lord, this is God's house. Verse 1 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. You are our home. I'm going home today because there is no place like home after service. Yes, after you've had your meal, all of us go home. And home is the place where we find rest. How is your home? Are you concerned? Are you concerned about the other inhabitants of your home? Your children, for example. Are you concerned about them? Do they follow your worship of the living God? This is something that ought to concern all of us. Your loved ones, are they also serving the Lord? This is worthy of our concern. How do you solve this problem? I say, dear friends, it is never too late. But think, pray over it. Is there the marks of my Lord Jesus in my home? Does the music coming forth from my hi-fi and what other instruments, does it help people to keep close to the Lord? Because the world today is too strong. I receive a stack of color brochures about the IR. You know what is IR? IR means irresistible temptation. IR, irresistible. Oh, there is nothing you can do to stop it. It's already almost ready. By April, they say, open for business. Come along. Will you be going? I was asked, you know, Pastor, what do you tell your members to go or not to go? I say, I'm not here to put yes and no. No entry to this and entry to that. It is a matter of your love for God or love for the world. The temptation is there. It's irresistible, it says IR. They poured in $6 billion for one IR. There are two IRs, you know. And if they pour in $6 billion in one, and how many more billions on the other, the expectation is obvious. You don't pour in $6 billion and say, well, let's go and take a holiday and let the IR survive somehow. No. It's all geared up for your money. Yes. Of course you say, well, the gamblers are prohibited by law, you know. That is very reassuring. You think so? Oh, that is only whitewash. 2,800 have been identified as chronic gamblers. They will not be allowed. Ah, chronic gamblers don't come. We have still 5 million of other non-gamblers to teach them how to gamble. They will come. They will come. Will you go? I'm not going to tell my members what of those facilities you may go, what you may not go. No, not at all. It is a measure of your love for God and the love for the world. That's just as simple as that. The Word of God says, love not the world. Why should I go to see the place just because it has got the largest collection of marine creatures? The largest in the whole world, they say. So you must go. If you don't go, you're so stupid. So people go and they pay. And there are so many other things, eateries and enjoyment, theme parks of all kinds. This is the attraction for the new year. Are you ready for it? Why do you go and why do you not go? You must settle for yourself. If I am ready, preparing, waiting for my Lord to come, doesn't matter whether I go to IR or not. I say it does matter that I do not go, because I love my Lord. And I want others to know that He is a God who saves. And there is much blessing to be away from the world and to be close with God and to love Him. Lord, You have been our home, says Moses. Do you say this also? Can you say this? Say, Lord, You have been our home, dwelling place in all generations. Moses observed as he walked. Remember, they were all a marching congregation of 2 million. And God supplied them manna daily. How do you feed 2 million mouths? How do you clothe 2 million bodies? You know that God worked a miracle of imperishable clothing. It says their clothes did not wear out. Until they arrive in the Holy Land, the Land of Promise, then they were given the opportunity and the chance and the necessity of making new clothes. For 40 years, is there anyone here who has a suit that you wear for 40 years? And their shoes did not tear, did not wear out. God was in the whole operation. Verse 1, Lord, You have been our dwelling place. I say, make God the center of your home. If you are a Christian, make it so, because you owe the Savior a debt to witness for Him, so that others, because of you, may inquire, how can I have a blessed home like yours? Moses has observed, and his comparison is incomparable. My home is given to me by God, and He is the one who was here before the mountains were created, even before the earth was created. My God was there. Do you know that? Do you trust in Him? Do you commit your life and your future to this wonderful God who so loved us, He gave us His Son? So this is the meaning of preparing for the new year. Verse 4. 1,000 years in thy sight. About as yesterday. We worry about all kinds of things, and that worry lengthens the days. But Moses saw that God was always there. Before he was called, God was there. God leads him day by day, and God will still be there when he's gone. We have an everlasting, wonderful God. Do you know Him? Oh, He tells us all about Himself through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is God incarnate, Emmanuel, That is the meaning of the name of our Lord Jesus. So, where is your worry? What is your worry? Verse 4 says, 1,000 years in thy sight are but just an evening. Not even an evening. Not even 6 hours. Only 3 hours. A watch in the night is 3 hours. How short is our life? How old are you? When I was little, I used to think 30 years old must be quite old already. Very soon I was 30. Then I said the next benchmark is 70. By then I have lived enough. I am sure I've lived enough. When I reached 70, I was still working like crazy. Still working. Now I've passed the proverbial 80 years. Passed 4 years ago. Verse 10 tells us how to regard the days and the years of your life. Verse 10 is a verse you ought to know by heart. The days of our years are 70. That is 70. Ah, that's right. How many of you are not 70? You look at 70, you say, so long to go. Before you know it, you are there. And then before you know it, it's behind you. And God is still there. The same God. He does not grow old. He is the same God who made the earth 6,000, 7,000 years ago. Not 6 billion years ago that the evolutionists concoct that. I tell you why they concoct. When I went to medical school, the book said 500 million years. But it's like an auction. The price goes up all the time. Then they say, not enough. Your theory of evolution won't work in 500 million years. You need more time. Okay, add on, 3 billion. So surely if evolution cannot come to pass in 500 million years, give it 3 billion, 3,000 million years. Now it's not good enough. It is still going up. Dear friends, 1,000 years in God's sight is but a watch in the night. Nothing. God is eternal. And He loves you and me. And He wants you and me to be part of the plan of salvation, that we may go forth and tell others. Now let's look on. Verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years. And 10 at 70. I ask those of you who are not yet 70, how much of the time I have lived have I devoted to the cause of Jesus Christ? Have I bothered to tell someone about the way of salvation? My own children at home, did you tell them? Not just tell them, hey, you must go to Sunday school, and you do not yourself live a Christian life. But I say the most effective way of witnessing and the most effective way of getting your children to come to Sunday school and when they grow up to live like Christians is how you live. Exactly. Of course, it doesn't always work, but it is the best method. Don't say, do as I say, but don't do as I live, as I do. That doesn't work. Yeah, your children are smarter than you, especially today. That is our concern. Children who know computers, you don't know. They know more in computers than you know. You think you have a computer, you know. You don't know. There are so many things they teach in school, and your children are so smart today, they look down at you. What do you do? Is that the concern? All these things are things you've got to think of when you face the new year, 2010. Where are you? What are you doing? So please, verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is that strength labor and sorrow. You may not think so. You say, it's so exciting. Now I got IR. I can go there and enjoy myself. You say labor and sorrow. I don't agree. I go and enjoy myself in Sentosa. I say, you find out. The day comes when you wake up and say, wasn't really that funny. When things don't happen the way you think so. Okay, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, who is 80 like me now? 80? It says, when you look back and ponder carefully, really it is labor and sorrow. Of course, there are happy moments. Of course, when you serve the Lord, there's much joy. Of course. But there is the flip side of the coin. You have gone through many days of trouble, but God in His mercy has helped you to overcome those troubles. Nevertheless, you can analyze and extra years after 70, after 80 are but labor. We are all born to work. No one is born to play, you know. No one is born to play. My old professor called Benjamin Shears, he used to lecture us, he said, students, young men, work hard. We are born to work, but we are born lazy. So this is a truth I never forget. We are born to suffer, to labor, because this is part of the curse ever since man fell and sinned against God. This was the sentence on man. What is the solution? Come to the Lord. And the Lord of life, the Creator, has sent us His Son to open a way for us to return to God and to escape the labor and sorrow that produces more labor and more sorrow. But if you know the Lord, you labor for Him, no sorrow. There is joy in heaven. When you bring one sinner to Christ, there is joy in heaven, there's joy in your heart. Because you have saved a soul from everlasting perdition. So it says here, it is soon cut off and we fly away. True? Yes. Part of a pastor's life is to officiate at funerals. And a week ago was another one. And then we go. You face the reality of this life. It's not always weddings, but sometimes funerals. And then you come to the face to face with the reality of death. That it is part of this life, and you must be ready for it. Prepare for it, because when you go through that door, you meet your Creator. Whether you like it or not, the Creator says, come home, you come home. Do you realize that none of us came to this planet Earth because of your own wish, or that somebody asks you, would you like to be born? And you say, okay lah, let's be born. No, all of us were thrust into this earth. And all of us, without exception, not only were thrust on earth, but came out crying. Nobody came out laughing, nobody. So this is the story, the tragedy of human life ever since Adam fell. What a sad thing, isn't it? But then, God gives us hope. Face your next year, new year. In 5 days' time, you are into new year. What plan do you have? Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place. Make your home a godly home. I can't do it for you. You can do it yourself. See to it that there is some semblance. There is the fragrance of Jesus Christ in your home. Don't just say, I can't help it. I'm in the poor situation. I say, poor or rich? No one is too poor to become a God-honoring Christian. No one is. We all have the opportunity to make the name of Jesus known in your life, in your home. Verse 11. Who knows the power of thine anger, Lord? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Why is God angry? God is angry because man is rebellious. And in righteous wrath, He shows His anger. But God is also a long-suffering, merciful, gracious God, that He loved us, gave us His Son. And we, hearing and believing, we owe Him that gospel debt. Are you repaying that gospel debt? Verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Some people don't like, especially some ladies, don't even like to know that people know their age. You don't talk about my age. I say that is folly and pride of a strange kind. What does it matter if they know my age? Makes no better. It doesn't make me older, doesn't make me look older, only make me feel unhappy. So teach us to number our days. Teach us to search ourselves. I've lived for so many years. What have I done for my Lord? This is what we all ought to consider. Stepping into another new year, don't just do so haphazardly. Anyhow will do. As long as I live, as long as I get my 13th month, better still, I get a double bonus because I've done well. Then I can celebrate the new year. I say, is that right? You may celebrate, but the new year does not respect you any more than what you deserve. So, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. What kind of wisdom? I say, the wisdom of God. The wisdom that comes from the fear of God. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So pray for wisdom. Pray that you have wisdom because you love God and you treat Him as God and not treat Him as a swear word. Some people only use God, use Christ when they get angry and they swear and they curse, then they use those words. That is not very nice. So, verse 13, return, O Lord, when you really feel that God is your help. You will say, Lord, return. If you know the Lord Jesus, that He not only died for you, but rose for you, please. Dying is to take away your sins. Rising from the dead is to assure you that He is a living Savior. What's the use of my Savior says, I die for you, and He takes away your penalty of death, and He dies, and He rots, and His bones can be found in Jerusalem still? What's the use of that Savior? But our Savior rose from the dead, and He is with us today. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Don't be a doubting Thomas. The first Sunday, the 10 disciples says, wow, Lord, we didn't know You could come through closed doors. We were in this door all shut in together. And Jesus appeared. And after that, when they told Thomas, he said, no, don't joke. How can I believe unless I put my fingers into His nail prints? And the next Lord's Day, exactly 7 days later, Jesus appeared to them. Now, are there any doubting Thomases here? I don't believe Jesus is alive unless I see Him, unless I eat with Him, unless I poke my finger into His nail wounds. Is that what you're thinking? Dear friends, we have a Savior who not only died but rose for us. And not only rose for us but ascended to heaven. All these are history. Please understand. We are not talking fantasy. We are talking history. And those who ignore history are doomed to suffer the consequences and to repeat its mistakes. Do you know that? So, let me repeat for you. We are talking history today. All the history is recorded in the book, and this book cannot be refuted. This book is the only book that is without error, infallible, inerrant, inspired by God for you and for me. And it tells us, your Savior died, rose from the grave, ascended to heaven, and the last part is the best part. It's coming again. Do you believe that? Your faith is incomplete. Your believing that Jesus died for you is incomplete unless you believe that He also rose, also ascended, also is coming again, and that you will be there to face Him. Oh, that is the best thing as we face the new year, 5 days' time. When you face the new year, when you come to the watch night service, promise the Lord, Lord, I want to have my home a Christian home. Who can make a Christian home for you? You. You must do it. That is the challenge. Don't live like the rest of the world. Don't have your home totally anonymous. Nobody knows anything about Jesus Christ by stepping into your home, or by your conduct, or by your speech. Do you tell others? Do you show others that you have a Savior that saves, who's coming again, who is going to make your new year really good? And you can serve Him, love Him, tell others about Him, and go about your work with joy, with hope, with complete confidence that if the Lord should come, I'm ready. Are you? Now, we want to close with verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? You said you were returning, didn't you? Of course. So, let us pray, Lord, return. Please, we need you, but not until you have made your home a Christ-honoring home. Lord, you are my dwelling place. My house is your house. I want to make it known that all who enter it will say, this house is good. I feel the peace of God in this house. And the inmates, the residents, are so different. Kind and loving, gentle and patient people. Are you such? Now, verse 16. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. God has done a great work in saving you. You are the work. You are His workmanship. Let this appear to the people that here is a product of Christianity. Christianity is not by words or theory. Christianity is to be lived out in the way you talk, the way you move yourself, the way you dress. Why dress like the world? As though there is a shortage of cloth everywhere. Yes? Why? Why don't we dress modestly? Why not? Oh, dear friends, verse 16 says, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and the glory unto their children. Do you? Do you glorify the Lord? Or do you want to appear like those in the worldly places? You know what I mean. Why imitate the world? Because the world is running the path of perdition and destruction. Jesus says, enter in by the narrow gate and the straight way, narrow way. You say, few there be that go in there. That's right. That's what Jesus says. Few like it. Because it's too restrictive. But Jesus says, broad way, full of people. They all like to go there. They all like the IRs, or the discos, or the nightclubs, or the other places for enjoyment, full of people, the broad way. But Jesus says the end thereof is destruction. Destruction. Make your new year count for yourself, because you are going to make it honoring to the Lord. Verse 17. This is the climax. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the beauty of the Lord Jesus, His purity, His sanctity, His patience, His loving kindness, His compassion. That is beautiful in God's sight. And let it be seen in you. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. The work of our hands establish thou it. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray thee to answer our prayer. because we ask it for Jesus' sake. He who died for us, he who loved us and gave himself for us, also said, "You go and be my witnesses to tell others there is a way out of the way of death, that we will not be unfaithful or indolent and do nothing." O Lord, bless this congregation. Pour down the riches of thy grace and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that we all hearing will say, "Lord, here am I, send me. Make me a good witness for thee." May the beauty of our Lord be seen in us. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.